Well, we're very glad to have Brother Jerry Andrus with us. He has served us very faithfully in the past, and we look forward to his lesson this morning. It's entitled, Costly Materials. Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother John, and brethren, it's good to be with you. Just before I came up here, my dear wife reminded me that we're with heavenly company. And I thought about that as we sung those words, Bliss of the Purified. Well, that song was talking about us, mighty to love. And we share in that mighty love. And now, as Moses, when he was walking there in the wilderness and he seen that burning bush, you remember what the Lord said? It's a sanctified ground. Now that the prayer has been said and the words of the hymn have been sung, we can accept that concept that now this place is sanctified ground. And the Lord is willing to be here with us because we are willing to be with Him. I want to bring you the love of the Salem class. They voted to remember you all with their love and prayers. Brother Darcy Andrus and Sister Melly Andrus, they wanted to be remembered with their love, as did Brother Dan Beard and Sister Kathy. They wished to be here, but they asked us to bring their love along and tell you these things. The costly material. Well, I'm sure the tabernacle comes to mind when we talk about costly material. Now, the tabernacle is a fascinating study, as you, I'm sure, have all come to that conclusion. But it is more. It becomes an enlightenment, and an inspiration. Now, remember, Jehovah God left nothing to chance. Acts 7:44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the wilderness and the witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. It wasn't something that Moses conceived in his mind, but it is something in vision that the Lord had given unto Moses, according to the fashion he had seen. Now the tabernacle also sets forth the way the Father draws us to Himself. He has come out in the way of mercy to make Himself known unto us. And this is all shown in this structure, and to establish His will of blessing through Jesus Christ. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Think about that, brethren. Very familiar text to our minds. But all along this way, we can hearken back to what the Lord has done. We are where we are in our Christian journey because the Father so chose to draw us. Now, He hasn't drawn everyone, but He has drawn us. Now, the teaching of the tabernacle provides this supportive information also, pictures of the major doctrines of the Bible, the sin offering, and how wonderful in our share in it. You know, the story of the gospel is a story of togetherness. We, together with Jehovah God, the omnipotent one, and our Savior Jesus, justification, sanctification, glorification, even before we wanted these things which speak to us in their doctrine and concept, the Lord Jehovah and Jesus wanted. They had provided from the foundation of the world. Exodus 39:43, and Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord hath commanded. Now, isn't that wonderful? Must have been a vivid picture in Moses' mind. Here he had that vision, and now it was complete. And he looked upon it. Are we looking upon that tabernacle, the temple, if you please, at his outworking in our very lives? Ye are the temple of the Lord. We need to set back now and then and to look at this vision, the vision of the Lord's work. He is the great workman, and he is doing a work. He is building a living temple, even Jesus in our lives. But we, like Moses, should step back now and then and take a good look at that erection in our hearts and minds that the Lord is building. A thrilling sight indeed for Moses at Sinai. The memento of Jehovah's presence. And every time you look at the workmanship within ourselves, it's a memento of Jehovah's presence. Now the shadow of Moses' work fell on the Lord Jesus, for he steadfastly set his face toward the tabernacle eastward. It was the object that filled his sight. Every sacrifice, every smoking victim, every flame of the fire of the altar told the same story, and in type and shadow presented to him the fearful tree. All had voices to his ears. We are admonished to walk in his footsteps. These too must have voices to our ears if it's going to add the zeal and the desire to have the work completed in us. Telling him of the bruising, the stripes, the smiting, to which each moment as it passed hastened him on. For the tabernacle then, for him, kept the cross in sight. Every affliction, the Apostle Paul tells us, that we undergo in life is a vision of the work of the tabernacle. Every pain. Maybe we should qualify that somewhat. If faithfully received, if faithfully performing, every affliction, every pain, every suffering should call up this vision of the work of the tabernacle. It'll help us. It will help us to find the right condition of heart and mind that the Lord can do this work. Now, the Lord doesn't do this work in all conditions, in all hearts of minds. It has to be in that attitude, even as we see in Jesus and all the faithful ones that have preceded us, as they keep the workmanship, the costly material, and its teachings in shadow and type, as its reality become residents in our lives and hearts and minds. And we who worship him find in the boards and the elements of the tabernacle shadow outlines of hidden truths, which add stability and sustenance to the truth-seeking and sacrificing under priests. When Moses commenced the construction, he spoke to the children of Israel thus, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering." The material has to first come from the affections of his devoted people, as Moses admonished us here. Speak unto the children that they bring an offering, and then, if the heart is willing and proper, we can take of Jehovah's offering. Now, the margin says a heave offering. An offering, if you heave it, you've got to lift it up. You've got to raise it above the horizon of earth in upward motion. Now, a wave offering, which we are told of in the scriptures, is a movement of the affection of our hearts Godward. But this heave offering is the energetic movement, an activity, a contribution, and it must be lifted up by each of the offerers. Now we can, as Ur of old helped hold up Moses' hand, we can help our brethren hold up their offerings. But by and large, 80, 90, 95%, 99% must come from the willing priests. They must be the ones individually to lift up their offering. The whole vast scene of God's glory in Christ must be formed in the affections of his saints now, today. Well, we can look back on those beautiful lives, those shining examples, but the story of this construction as it relates to each one of us is today. It's the workmanship of the Father today. And then lifted into their place of service, all put together and constructed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, our Father looks for this energetic movement of affection from his people. In fact, he looks so deep within it, he gets beyond all the physical, and he looks deep down into the intentions. That's how deep he looks on these affections that we bring to him. And he then wants to know if they're perfect. Well, some say, well, there's no way they can be perfect. But the Lord says, be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. Like Moses, then, we've got to step back. We've got to look at this construction. And we got to look way down deep like the Lord into our hearts and motives and our minds to see what our intentions really are like. You know, the old man, he's very wily, just as his master, Satan. Yeah, the old man is Satan's servant. So we got to look deep, deep down into the heart of the Christian. And we should do this because this is a wonderful construction. And we'd want just what the Lord would want. And the Lord looks that deep, so we should be looking that deep likewise. And every man must give it willingly. Then, in order to have the fullness of God's presence, we must have a willing heart, counting all things we possess as the Lord's, and acknowledging, and this is very important, that he is free to ask for it at any time. Now, some will go only the first step. They, in word, lip service, as we have come to realize as its term, will willingly bring an offering. But as time goes along, we forget. Not that we want to, because of so many things out there that would draw us away, we forget to acknowledge it in its depth. Well, we acknowledge it, we say prayers. How many times do we say the blessing at the table, for instance? Is it becoming repetitious? What about our prayers at night when we get down and want to talk in solitude with our Heavenly Father and our dearest Master and Savior? We've got to get back like Moses did and see that vision completed, or at least in its construction, as it progresses day by day and hour by hour. It is the little things we are told that how the vine is spoiled, the little foxes nibble at those little fresh buds. And sometimes they're so little, we don't even notice it. But always remember your Heavenly Father. He will notice. Yes, because of the conditions that prevail around about us and within us, we must look at the vision daily of the Lord's workmanship within us. We are people furnished with divine wealth. Blessed are the purified. We have divine wealth, treasures in earthen vessels. We can bring a heave offering. At least some part of the divine purpose is found in each one of us. Remember, nobody comes unless the Father draw. And if the Father's drawn, there is something divine that you are recipients, beneficiaries of. Yes, no one is too small, no one is too little in this Christian way. In fact, it's the big ones that have the problem, the little ones. And you remember how the Lord would sit and say, "Suffer the little ones to come to me." Yes, we are not orphans, as Brother Charlie has told us in lessons of past. We have a Father, and He loves us very much. Do we love Him so much? So some divine purpose is found in each one of us. We all have something then. We have the E of God's offering. And we need all the varied parts to do the work of the antitypical tabernacle. We're not an island. We need each other. Sister Ginger, we need you in this Christian way. Brother Frank and all of you brethren, we need each other. The Lord has given us all a little part, and we need to bring it together that a suitable dwelling place for God can be found amongst us here on earth. He has His place in heaven. But how is His place doing on earth? How is His dwelling place doing here today amongst His people? Remember, the tabernacle story is an earthly picture or scene. We need to be very careful. Many have brought their offerings, but it is not being lifted high enough. And I'm not saying this to condemn, but we must acknowledge confess our shortcomings one to another. The Lord is faithful, and He will forgive us. Oh, there's so much good amongst us, so much bless of the purified. But it has its other shadowed side. Never forget. And we all have to do with a part of that shadow side, as well as the enlightened side, the blissful side, the happy side, the faithful side. Exodus 38:21. This is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of the testimony, as it was counted, according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites by the hands of Ithamar, a son of Aaron the priest. It was counted, the tabernacle was counted. It was the work of Ithamar to take count of all and to see that nothing was missing. Every detail of divine harvest truth is essential to the glory of God, for the work of the ministry. A missing pig, I don't know, maybe that big, maybe smaller, maybe it was bigger, but it was little comparatively in relationship to the tabernacle, the boards, for instance, which stood a mighty high, 15 feet higher than this ceiling, maybe to the roof peak. Yes, the pig was essential. A missing pig would mean a slack cord. And a slack cord would mean a curtain out of place. And disorder would spread. A brother who can put in a word to prevent these things getting slack. That's what we need. Brother, each one of us in the Lord's providence are commissioned thus to do. A sister who can count and see what is missing renders valuable service and services. In fact, in some respect, we believe that the sisters today render a greater service than the one standing up here before you. The one standing up here before you, even though he's just a vessel, and the Lord is pouring His truth, hopefully, through him, it is but for a moment, comparatively, as we go back to our respective lives, to our ecclesias, and do the daily work of the sisters as they write their letters, they lift their telephones. We need the little things. And they may be the things that are missing, which brings in the shadow side of this work, of this construction. The contribution of each one is needed, and all have to be brought together. The pigs and the curtains and the veils, all had to be brought together to have that earthen structure. So each one of us has a place. Each individual's contribution had to be found out. Ithamar had to count everything, make it was sure it was all there, and find its place in relationship to the whole. And eventually then comes together under the hand of Moses. Exodus 15:13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in the strength, in thy strength, unto a holy habitation. Now the material was to first come from the affection and devotion of the people. Speak unto the children, remember. Let them bring an offering. Oh yes, now it must also, always and ever, be enriched by his advocacy. The work of the advocate. We had to come under the ransom, but we are under the ransom. And now we must have the advocacy, a people which are redeemed. In his mercy, he is leading us forth. He is leading us out of the world into the wilderness. That is the simple picture of this verse. Are we out of Egypt? I think we are out of Egypt. Every one of us. But remember, the first time they left, they only went 3 days' journey during the times of the early plagues. They just went out to the border of Egypt. That's not far enough for we who would want to be so faithful unto the Lord because he is the Lord. Yes, we need to get further away than 3 days' journey. Out of the world. Now we're talking about the hopes, the doings. We need to get there again, step back like Moses and take a look at what we're doing. Strangers in this land. But I wonder how strange we are to the Lord, and how familiar we are to the world. I don't know for you, I do know for me. And sometimes I get concerned, and sometimes even frightened. And sometimes I would even cry, but that's not so terrible if we're looking at the vision and we're finding those things that are missing to the true temple in our lives and our doings. Today, we read the financial section of the newspaper or hear a news commentation on the TV about the strength of the dollar. Well, how much strength do we put in the dollar? I don't know. Each one of us will have to ask ourselves. But I think, as I look around, I think we're pretty safe. But I think there's room to be safer if we'll all try a little harder. Yes. Now the object of our deliverance is that Jehovah might have a people for himself. It just brings it down to the common denominator. And why can we say this? Because the scriptures tell us time and time again, Jehovah wants a people for himself. He wants a family. And we're thankful that he wants a family. And we want to be of that family. If we want to be of that family hard enough, then we will, like Moses, step back and look at the work of this construction in our hearts and minds. He redeems us. He delivers us that he might have a precious son. under his eye. A people marked by the refusal of the flesh and by the presence of the reflection of Christ Jesus. All of these are familiar terms. Looking in that mirror, we need to keep looking, not for looking's sake, but for finding's sake. Finding those things that we know are in residence and will be until we draw our last breath upon this earth. You know, and it is a good thing when others see us acting so distinct from those in the world that they have to ask, why? That's a good report. That's an A plus. Are any asking why? I believe there should be some whys in our lives. This identifies us as a purchased possession, purchased of Jesus. Well, we'd like to just visit a lot more with those, because indeed it is heavenly company we see in the faces. Look into your eyes and see into your hearts. But we'll leave that for others today. I see our time has run out. So let us take this opportunity, as Brother Albert suggested, and step back and really take a good look where we are in our Christian way. So may the Lord bless these thoughts to you and to me.